Well, great. It's good to be with you. And yes, we are the Doolittles. I know that's not a foreign name around here, but a little bit of my family situation. This is my lovely wife, Kelly, of 31 years here in a few months. And of course, we have four children. Philip, he already graduated from Pensacola Christian College, and he works in the accounting department at BIMI, Baptist International Missions Incorporated. Hannah graduated also from Pensacola as a nurse, and she works at a Baptist hospital in Pensacola. And she got married on December the 19th.
Yes.
I've got three boys, got girls, talk to my wife. No, that's not the way it goes, right? Oh, this is live, I'm sorry. I'll get it from them later. But anyway, Josh was down there at Pensacola studying right now. He's doing criminal justice, and Benjamin will be staying back also. And he wants to do something with computers to do with cyber security. Okay, it's something new that they just started offering now down there, and he is into that kind of stuff, so he likes to hack into your stuff. So anyway, so that's what he'd like to do. So just remember to pray for us. We are going back as empty nesters. We go back June 22nd. We had our tickets bought before we ever came back to America. We were, I believe, in doing that, you know. So since they canceled so many of our flights and other times, and they were owing us, so we just figured to go ahead and do that. But pray for us as we go back. Brazil right now is a hot spot with COVID. If you have followed any of that, last week we had one death every 29 minutes from COVID. So that's a pretty big number. There have been a lot of, there were some states that were literally locked down. They wouldn't even allow you to have services, stuff like that. Where we are, we can have service in the morning. Actually, Jed, you support Jed's parents. We call him Jed. Jed Duarte, he actually is at our work right now, so we could come home for furlough. And we were just communicating as we were on our way over here from Viroqua. And he's going to call the mayor up tomorrow. I said, you need to touch base with him and see how it is. That's what I would do when I was there. Can we have services? Would you open up just for us to have? All we can do is Sunday morning right now. And it has to be done before 12. And so by 12 o'clock on Saturdays and Sundays, you have to be in your home. On weekdays, by 7 o'clock, you have to have everything shut down. 9 o'clock, you can't leave your house anymore. So it's made things a little more difficult. But just remember to pray for us with that right there. Give you a little bit of history about the work. The press release you're going to see is just about the work in Guarantan do Norte. That is where we are now. But just to give you back to where we started from, and I want to thank you as a church. You have been supporting us from, I would say, almost ground zero. We have been on the mission field now for 26 years. The first time we went to Brazil was in 95. We just sold our house and went. And we were there in the city of Manaus, and we worked there and helped another missionary with a church plant. I was wrestling with some things with the Lord, and the Lord straightened me out. He's the boss, and I'm just supposed to follow and not argue. And so when God settled that with me, and I agreed, then we came back to the U.S. And, of course, she was pregnant with Philip at the time, and she was a little leery about having a son on the foreign field at that point in time. And so we came back. Philip was born. We joined Macedonia World Baptist Missions. And then in 99, we went back to Brazil, and that's when Kelly actually studied the Portuguese language. We studied for 9 months. We were there in the city of Cuiabá. Then we moved up to Acre, and there in the city of Acre, the state of Acre, we went to Brasileia. We established a church there. We also, the Lord allowed us to start one in Bolivia, in Cubija, and of course one out at a colony. And then from there, we went to the capital city, and we were in this started the one in Rio Branco, and that's the one that you'll hear about here and there that's still in the court case that we're in there in Brazil, and I'll share a little bit more about that here in just a little bit. And now we are in Guarantan do Norte. Of course, we were in Rio Branco. We also assisted in another church plant as well. So the Lord's been just great. It's just amazing as you look back, and I think, you know, he allowed us to start, you know, four churches and assist in three others and all that right there. It's just been amazing to see what God can do. I never intended that in my life, even though I was raised on the mission field. When I came back to the States, I love mechanic work, and I still do. And I I've even got parts in the back of my van. I'm taking it apart over here in Viroqua if you want to come over and help, or if you need a lesson in mechanics. No, just, but I love to do that kind of stuff. And so that was my trade until 5 years into our marriage, God just changed everything. And of course, then we sold it. That's when we sold everything and went. And so now we're in our fourth church plant. We've been there 4 years. Things here in Guaranta do Norte are a bit different than the rest of Brazil that I remembered growing up and also in ministry. Guaranta do Norte is an interesting city. It's a very organized city as far as streets, lights, water, and all that kind of stuff. A couple weeks before we came back, we actually had fiber optic internet installed in our house. And so, you know, I haven't used it. Jed's using it, but I'll try it out soon enough. And so we've got all this technology, all this stuff. And we do have a Subway sandwich store in our town. And no McDonald's, no Burger King, but we do have a Subway. And I had to say sandwich store because I said Subway at one church. They thought we had Subways, you know. We're not that big. We're 40,000 people. Very diverse. When you come into the state of Mato Grosso, we produce more soybean than anybody in the world. We ship soybean around the world. Because of our tropic weather and our rains and dry seasons, we're able to plant four crops a year. So they do two soybean, they do a corn, they do a type of a sorghum. When you get up too close to where we are, up to Sinope, from Sinope up to where we are, it kind of changes and even passes us a little bit. It's more of farming for, even though you see spots of soybean plantations, but they've gone more into the cattle and for beef. And so it's very big with the Nilauri beef, the one that's got the big old hump on the back and all that good eating. Oh, my goodness, it's good. If you like beef and you like that kind of good stuff, we were figuring it up today. How much is it for a pound of filet mignon that we pay? We pay $2.50. And it is grass-fed. So, mission trip? Come on down. But anyway, now let's get back on track here. But the people are very either German or Italian background, and they are strong Catholics. And when I say strong Catholics, I mean Catholic, because the rest of Brazil that we've worked, they say they're Catholic. You inquire about that, and they say, yeah, well, when do you go to church? They don't go to church. They're just Catholic by name. In our town, they're Catholic by practice as well. 7 o'clock Sunday morning, the church is packed. I mean, they're there. You go to witness to people. Well, I'm active in the couples group at my church, at the Catholic church. I'm active with the young people at the Catholic church. And so it's a very active, and they have all kinds of ministries and reaching out and all that kind of stuff. So actually, we even rented, and this gentleman just passed away recently, but we rented from this guy in a house, and he very Catholic. You'd hear him listen to the Mass on TV every morning. He was in a wheelchair. They have their saints on their porches and in their yards. They actually build houses for the saints and all that kind of stuff. And he even said, listen, we'll be friends and all that kind of stuff. But when we start talking church, that's where our friendship stops. I mean, it's that strong. And so it's been a little more difficult because of the people. But God is still in the saving business. And the Lord has been working. We've seen the church grow. And, of course, with this pandemic, things have taken a turn that it's almost like we feel like in going back, and this has nothing to do with Jed and his family or the ministry they're doing, but it's almost like you're going to have to start all over again. And so just pray with us about that right there, because you get to a certain point and you're running 30, you know, 35. On a good day, you're having 40 people show up, and then all of a sudden you're down to so many services, just the three of us, Kelly, I, and Benjamin, and all that kind of stuff again. So just pray for us that God will work in our lives. When we go back June 22nd, our focus is totally different. The Lord's been working in our lives since we've been back here on a lot of different things. It's one of those things where you stop and evaluate your life and your spiritual aspect of things. You get so involved in so many different things, but where am I with the Lord? And we had a missionary friend that contacted me when we were at a missions conference in Lyles, Tennessee, and he said, Brother Doolittle, he's a young guy and just starting his first church plant, so they call me up, and he said, listen, I had this young man, he came up to me, and he said, I have this problem with pornography, I need help. The pastor, this missionary, he contacted me, and he said, we don't have material in Portuguese that he knows of, and since I'm quote-unquote, the veteran missionary, so they want to know, do I have stuff? I've never really dealt with that, or, you know, I know it's an issue, I know it's a problem, but I've never dealt with it. I've never actually gone through with men doing studies with that right there and all that. So we actually were put in touch with the RU. I don't know if you're familiar with them, and there's a church in Chattanooga that works, so we've actually gone to a couple of their sessions just to see how it works and stuff, got some of their material. And so when we go back, we actually, instead of focusing on any, we are, this term when we go back, I don't want to have to pick up a hoe except to I'll spray the weeds. I'm not going to hoe them out. We really want to, no building projects, no nothing. The Lord's given us what we need. We just want to focus 100% on souls. And so just pray for us. I know it's going to be different going back by ourselves. But one, and don't take this the wrong way. Please don't take this the wrong way. But by just being the two of us, you know, there's not this thing of children and homeschooling and this and that and the other thing. We'll be able to really focus on that right there. So just pray for us. I know she'll have me to take care of, and I'm a handful, but you know, that's beside the fact. So just remember to pray for us on these things. And, of course, you know, I've given you more requests than he had mentioned. About the court case, for those of you who remember, it was, it's been a battle for 10 years now, right? And the last time that they were trying to do some ruling on it, we won the first instance. They appealed it. It went to the three judges. The three judges kept going around and around. At times we thought we had won the case. At times we thought we had lost the case. And it was just a mess. And then finally, we have what's called the Ministério Público, where they oversee things. And the three judges threw it back to the first judge and said, we want you to re-rule on this. But they made an alteration. Instead of it being church against church, they put the guy's name that took us to court against the church. And the Ministério Público, they don't interfere with the rulings and stuff, but they alert the attorneys and all that kind of stuff. And they immediately alerted our attorney and said, listen, they just broke the Brazilian Constitution according to what the case is supposed to be ruled on. You need to get it out of the state, get it to the Supreme Court. So that's where we are now. I think I told you 5 years, but it's not been 5 years that we've been in the Supreme Court, has it been? April. Okay, I'm sorry. I told you I think 5 years, but after I was thinking about that. Yeah, about a year now that we are at the Supreme Courts, and not only are we defending our case at the Supreme Court, we are also, there was a case opened up that the Ministério Público encouraged us to do, to take for the Supreme Court to take a look at these three judges that broke the Constitution, because they need to be punished somehow as well. So that's where we are right now. This could take another 5 years, it could take another 10 years. The Lord's coming back, but it does not keep you from serving. And that's one thing that we always have to be reminded. You know, we need to be thankful for what God has given us, the opportunity, Lord. Listen, all of us face different circumstances. Mine happens to be certain ones that are, you know, down there, and you face your circumstances here. But you know what? We have a God that is above circumstances. And so we've got to look above that, keep a smile on our face, let the people know that our God is the great God. And he will take care of everything. And some people have asked, you know, about finances and stuff with this court. So it's just amazing how God works. And for us to take the Supreme Court, it was going to cost, we have to pay the attorney. The attorney can charge down there up to 20% of the value of the case. This case right now is about $250,000, right? $500,000. Now, if you want to write us a check, that's fine. I will not give it to them, I'll imply to the ministry, but that's beside the point. So he could have charged us quite a bit amount of money, but he's a good Christian young man. Most time when we talk on the phone, even or through Skype stuff like that, it's been amazing because we talk more about the Lord stuff than we do about the case, and that's exciting. We talk about passages that we've been studying, and he's been studying, and just growing in the Lord, and all that kind of stuff. And we said, you know, what are you going to charge us to take it over there, and all that. And it was, in U.S. dollars, it was about $1,700. $1,700. I mean, that's just not even a drop of speck of dust in the bucket. And just to show you how God has worked. And, you know, and one of the things that was great, we've been trying to do everything we can to not use support money to do this right here. And it was amazing because my wife, her stepdad's mother passed away. He got an inheritance, and he decided to give his stepchildren and his child some of that inheritance. And so we were able to use that to pay for that right there. So it's just been amazing to see how God has worked every step of the way. So listen, remember to pray for us, and you'll see this presentation. I'll give you a few seconds to ask your questions if you have any. We have a display out there. Ask my wife questions. Please ask her questions. She loves to answer questions. Pick up our prayer cards. They are COVID-free, okay? So please do that. So if we can have this right here now. This is just about Guarantã do Norte.
We are the Stephen Doolittle family, missionaries to Brazil, currently in the city of Guarantã do Norte. We are sent out of Victory Baptist Church in Jasper, Tennessee, and assisted by Macedonia World Baptist Missions. On January 17, 2017, we moved to the city of Guarantã do Norte in the state of Mato Grosso. This city was organized on June 2, 1981. We have a population of approximately 40,000 people. Our climate is tropical, and our elevation is approximately 1,100 feet above sea level. The people here are German or Italian descent. Many still speak German or Italian and hold strongly to their religious beliefs. Cattle and crop farming are very big in our area. As most cities, it is a religious one. 68% Catholic, 21% Protestant, 1.5% Jehovah's Witness, and 8.5% nothing. After getting settled in and renting a building, we started renovating the building so we could use it. Thankfully, we finished and had our first service on March 25th, 2017. Besides door-to-door visitation, we offered free English classes to witness and reach the lost. The Lord started growing the church. As we learned more about the city, we started looking for a place we could purchase. The Lord blessed us with a property with a house on it. We built some bathrooms and took all the partitions out of the house to make it one room. We added a lean-to to one side as a classroom. God also allowed us to build an all-purpose building that has been a tremendous blessing. We are so grateful for all He has done. But we are not here to build buildings. We are here because of the people. People blinded by Satan and chained to his works that need the true gospel of Jesus Christ. That is why we are here. During this time, we have seen many accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. We have followed up with in-home Bible studies. The Sunday night before we left, Francisco and his wife, Jucineia, accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. This is what it is all about, and this is your eternal investment. It has not been easy, but God is good and continues to give us all we need to press on. Thank you for all you have done in reaching these people with the gospel.
Jed has been there. We've seen other people. He started with this gym that we built, that he started a youth thing. Of course, this is before the lockdown once again. He went out and invited 18 young people. He invited a lot of young people. 18 people came, and 8 of them got saved. And then there was also Dona Valda that we witnessed to. We went to her home, and she came to church a couple of times, and she kind of just disappeared. Well, she ended up coming back to church, and she got saved just a few weeks ago. And so it's just exciting to see. Listen, COVID cannot control God and or contain the Holy Spirit. And so we just need to be busy about the Lord's work. Another thing that's real big in our area is gold mining. I forgot to tell that because I thought you all come running down. A lot of gold mining in our area as well. So that's in our town. We have people that are filthy rich. I mean, they don't take this wrong if you drive one of these, please. But they drive these new Camaros, and they don't have any Teslas there yet. But I saw here that you have a green cab Tesla here in town. I thought, wow, I wonder how much you pay for that thing to ride in it. But anyway, and so with the gold mining, so that we have a lot of rich people, but also we have a lot of poor people. And the church isn't for the rich, it's not for the poor, it's for the lost. And so just remember to pray for us. Do we have any quick questions? I'm not stalling for time, trust me. Yes, sir. Okay, the court case is based on when we went to the city of Rio Branco to start the work, we went there to start a new church plant. There was a church there that was really struggling, and they were, I don't know, possibly in the, not close the door, but just keep one person there, so to speak. We knew of this church, and it was an independent Baptist church. It had been started by a gentleman by the name of Luiz Gonzaga, when he used to be a member of the of a Brazilian Baptist, Independent Baptist Mission Board. And so we went, because we knew the church, we went to visit it, because we had just moved to town, and so you don't not go to church. And so we went to church, and as soon as we walked in the doors, they want us to be the pastor. And I said, no, my job isn't to be this. My job is to start work and all that. So we had a lot of dialogue and discussions and prayer and all that kind of stuff, and I finally agreed that we will take it over, but we are going to change the name. We're going to change the constitution. We're going to organize a new church, donate everything over, dissolve the old one and all that kind of stuff. Whichever was fine, I had contacted their mission about that. I've contacted everybody I needed to contact. I went to the courthouse, find out how to do all that kind of stuff. And so we did everything according to the laws and bylaws of the old church, the new church, the city, missions, and everything else. Luiz Gonzaga, he never helped really even build this building. He just he actually had started work on the other side, and some of the people lived on this side of the river, so that's where that whole mess, in a sense, kind of got started. He came and visited our church once, and we had on the bulletin board, all, you know, we don't put their offerings to each individual, what their names are and how much they give, but we, you know, with the monthly support, not support, but the statement, yeah, the tithes and offerings that come in for the month. Well, he saw that, and he saw that we were actually trying to save money for building project, to remodel the building and all that kind of stuff. So he saw that we're Americans. And the people that invited him to come, really good heart, they just wanted him to get his heart right with God. Because when he left, he was kicked out of the mission because of adultery. He joined a church down there that we have. It's kind of, I guess, like your Church of Christ here, it's Baptismal Salvation. Then he got kicked out of that church because of women issues, and he went to his brother's church, which is an Adventist, and then he got kicked out of that church because of women issues. And he's now at another Adventist church. It just really messed up. And his pastor now is his attorney. And so he just got a big eye thinking that he could get some money from us and settle. He sues everybody. He sued his mom. He sues his brother. He's got court cases against the bus company in town and all that kind of stuff. And so he thought, and a lot of times people will settle. He didn't know that he's barking up a wrong tree with us. And so he took us, actually, the first court case, Adilson and I, we didn't even get, we were judged guilty before we were even given opportunity for defense. And this was a criminal case. So he and Adilson and I, we each had to pay a fine. I paid mine, the church paid his. And we were, for 2 years, we were in a conditional suspension. There was no way, if anything happened, I could leave the country. I had to stay in Brazil for 2 years. On a specific day of the month, I had to stand in line and sign this paper with all these criminals. And it was like we were prisoners, but the judge said, this will never go against you. You got to follow through with this right here. And this was just so confusing to us. And so we just did what the judge said we had to do. So we never did go to jail, but we were, and we didn't have to wear an ankle bracelet, but for me to go out of town to go preach, and if I was going to be gone for a certain amount of days, I had to get a judge's authorization and all that kind of stuff. And so that was. And so as soon as those 2 years were almost up, then we got hit with this civil lawsuit with $500,000. And the guy just, what he did was he got some people that were disgruntled members from the old church, people I've never met, and he did a what you call in this country, a business meeting. He had a business. He put himself as a pastor of the old church, drew all the documents up. They couldn't register anything in courthouse because we had already dissolved the church. So it should have never been looked at in the first place. But his key witness worked in the court systems. And so then it went that way. And so it's actually, he claims to be the old church. He's suing the new church for all the ties for 5 years, for the instruments that we had, and for mental and health. Pain and suffering. We call it pain and suffering. And in the accusations, when you read the book of all the accusations, he said that we are down in Brazil to steal money from the Brazilians. And I'll be honest with you, after you read all that kind of stuff and after you've gone through what some of the stuff that you go through, you want to say, Lord, I come here to preach the gospel to these people. If this is the way they're going to treat me, I'm going home. But you know what? God's grace is so good. And then you turn a corner and you do witness to somebody and they get saved. Listen, you can't put a price on that. And so that's what it's about. So it's, and that's why when I said when they went to, we took it to the Supreme Court, is because the three judges, they took it out of the church's name that is supposedly accusing us, and put his name there. And that's where they broke the Constitution, the Brazilian Constitution, because they can't alter anything that's in document form. And so, and it's funny because when you go to the courthouse and pull up all the old documents, I'm the president of the old church and I'm the president of the new church. So it's like, if we win, who gets the money? If I lose, who gets the money? So it makes no sense. I mean, it's ridiculous, but that's where we are. So just kind of give you an update on that. I know it's been a long time, many years, many tears, but many joyful tears as well. Any other questions real quick? Brazil is an open country right now. You can come down. No visas required. I think I said that last time I was here. I don't know if they were open yet. With our new president, which we call Trump on steroids, he publicly, maybe we won't go there, but he said some things publicly that if you said it, you would be probably locked up or your church would be persecuted for in this country concerning his family and such. And he's done great for us as far as Christians. He's not a Christian. He needs salvation. But he was baptized in River Jordan, so he's hanging on to that. But he has, as far as for us, it's just opened up new avenues. His son is an advocate. He's not getting very far, but he's an advocate for homeschooling, which in Brazil is illegal. There's a lot of things. And, of course, they're trying to get him out of office now even and all that kind of stuff. And so just pray for the country, just like this country. There's a mess. There's a mess. Any other questions? Okay, open your Bibles real quick to Psalm chapter 100. I promise we're not going to be here long. Just want to share some thoughts with you and to be a challenge and a help and a blessing. Psalm chapter 1, you know this psalm by heart more than likely. Psalm chapter 1, and I know you're still flipping there, but you know it by heart, so I'll go ahead and start quoting. It says, "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful." Verse number 2 says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." We're just going to go that far. And it's amazing what you can learn from this here. And I know you've probably heard it taught and studied, and you've done studies and preached and all that kind of stuff on it. But I believe to be the tree here, when I look at verse number 3, it says, "He shall be like a tree." Like a tree. Now, when you look at a tree, there's a lot of ways that you can look at it. You can look at it for all kinds of different resources. You can look at it for shade. You can look at it for lumber. You can look at it just for something that you can get produce from to sell. I mean, there's so many different ways that you can look at a tree. But I want us to go below the tree and look at something a little bit differently, which we see here, which is the root system. And I believe that for us to be successful, Christians, and I'm believers, and once again, we're not talking about monetary or having a name for ourselves in the community as being able, successful in a business or anything like that. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I want us to focus on the spiritual aspect, because if you look at verse number 2, it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And so as we look at that right there, the promises of these verses, they're conditional. Because he says here, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in season. But who is this? Somebody that has his delight in the law of the Lord. And so as we look at that right there, planted, I look at something that is grounded, something that is rooted down. We got a piece of property that was given to us up on Lookout Mountain, about 1.25 acres. If you need any firewood, you want any lumber, you want anything, please come. I'm trying to get somebody to cut my trees down. It's all wooded, and it's beautiful to see the deer running around and all that kind of stuff. And I've been up there building me a little 8 by 10 shed so I could store some stuff. Because every time we come back to the States, we buy stuff, and then we have to go. We go to Goodwill. I said, you know what? We just need to store this stuff. So and price of lumber is like gold in this country. And so I picked the wrong time to build me a shed. But anyway, so I'm building this, and I had to cut some trees down. And I'm there with my chainsaw, and I'm cutting these trees down. And I'm getting proud of myself. I feel like I'm a lumberjack, because I said I want it to fall over here, so I'll notch it over here. I'll put it over here, put a wedge over here, and drop it right where I want. I said, yeah, you know, it doesn't fall on top of my shed. And so I'm thinking that's great and all that kind of stuff. But then I got a tractor in there, and I wanted to take these stumps out. And guess what? They don't budge. A guy from the church, he went up there, he's got this little tiny, it looks like a toy, I think Tonka built it, it's a little backhoe thing, and he dug around and dug around. He spent time up there and moved it back and forth, and finally, after digging the roots out, he was able to remove it. Listen, the root system is what I want us to focus on here. Because if you go to Colossians chapter 2, and keep your finger there in Psalm, but go to Colossians chapter 3, run some verses in the New Testament. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. We see here, Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7, he says, as ye have therefore received Jesus Christ, the Lord, so walk ye in him. Notice verse number 7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Listen, we are supposed to be rooted in him, in Christ. And the only way that we're going to be rooted in Christ is if we spend time with him. And the way we spend time with him is through reading the word of God. It is through prayer. It is through, and I'm not talking about just, and it is good. Don't stop this if you do this. You get up in the morning and you read a couple passages before you run off to work. That's great and it's wonderful, and God can use that. But don't just stay with that. You let God use that to let you grow and be more rooted in. We had a tree up in Ocotee when we were there. Had this one place there, and we had a lot of plans for it, but everything, all that stuff kind of fell through. But there were a lot of trees. And these trees, there was one tree that had the roots that were going in. It was busting up the sidewalk, and it was already under the foundation. And I said, I've got to get rid of this thing. And so in the City Hill, but I don't know how it is up here in Madison, Wisconsin, but there I had to go to the mayor's office. They had to send out a crew out there. They had to measure the tree and all that kind of stuff, take pictures and see the damage that's being done. Then I had to pay to cut the tree down. And I cut the tree down. I had to pay to cut it down. And then I had to haul it off, and I couldn't take it. I couldn't burn it. I had to haul it off to some place where it could die naturally for the rest of its life. And I'm thinking, listen, this thing is tearing up my building, and I've got to pay you for me to cut it down. This makes no sense, but I had to do that. Why? Because the roots, in a negative way, were doing damage. But you know, roots in a positive way can do so much if we would just allow God to use us in that way. We need to be rooted in him. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17, and don't lose Colossians there, but Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17, notice what he says here. Not only rooted in him, but in verse 17 of chapter 3, he says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. So not only do we need to be rooted in him, but I'll tell you what, if we are rooted in him, being rooted in love won't be a problem. You know why sometimes, you know, you may say, well, I don't know, I just can't love like I should. Well, maybe we're not rooted like we should. Because when we're rooted like we should, we will love like we should. And we need to be grounded and rooted in love. Listen, we're living in a world that is so self-centered, they have no clue or idea what love is. And if they don't see that in us, where are they going to see it? Where are they going to see it? And if you go back to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23, it says this right here. If ye continue, Colossians 1, 23, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Notice the first part. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled. We need to be grounded in him, grounded in love, and grounded in faith. Listen, I get sick and tired of people that are wishy-washy. And I'm sure you do the same. One day they're here, they're ready, excited to go, and let's go conquer the world for Christ. And then you call them up, oh, I can't go today. Listen, people that are grounded in faith, it doesn't matter. They're willing to pay the cost because there are souls that are dying and going to hell. Listen, we need to be planted. Now, as we go back to Psalm chapter 1, and we look at this right here. He says here in verse number 3, and you shall be like a tree planted. Now, we notice it's here by the rivers of water. And so by the rivers of water, that means nourishment. The tree planted by the river is never dry. It's never wilted, but it's green. It's lush. It's lovely. The believer who lives close to God will never be dry or wilted either. They will be full of life. And listen, they will be vibrant, lively, and productive. Many never know the joy of drawing off Christ daily. You know, we wait for these experiences that we have throughout our Christian life. When there was a revival or there's a missions conference, and we just look at, wow, that was so amazing. We look back and we reminisce about that. Listen, that should be an average day for a Christian. Should it not be? Is God doing what he's supposed to? Are we doing what we're supposed to? Listen, drawing from Christ daily, and as a result, they are spiritually, for those that aren't, they're spiritually wilted and dead-looking. And listen, the droughts of life and the dry seasons never seem to affect a believer who is planted near the river because he's got his source of nutrition there. Planted by the river. He is connected to an unfailing source of life and strength. As you go on in this verse, it says, bringing forth his fruit, that service. That service. The old apple tree in the cow pasture, you've heard the illustration. Who all benefits from that? The man, the cows, the insects, the birds, the soil. Everything benefits from that old tree. Because what falls and rots, it's fertilizer. The birds come and they nest and they eat. The insects enjoy when they're budding and flowering, and we enjoy the shade and the fruit. I mean, the cows enjoy it. Everybody enjoys that. Listen, you will never know just who is feeding off of your life. Your service. Your service. In his season, as you go back to the verse, and the verse continues, in his season, that's timing. Now, this tree isn't a freak. It says here, just as there are seasons of fruit bearing, so there are times of rest and growth. And as believers, we aren't to worry over the fruit. That's his responsibility. We're supposed to worry about being faithful. Being faithful, doing our part. Telling others, living, service. And timing. And timing is everything. If you look at anything in life, timing is everything. I go back to engines because, you know, cars. And so you look at your engine. I mean, you've got a timing belt or a timing chain, and you have to change that thing periodically. I bought a car recently for my son down there, and I thought it was a good deal, and I bought it, took it home. I was going to do all this work on it, change the timing belt and all that. And as I drove around the back of the church where we're staying there in Jasper, Tennessee, all of a sudden the thing stopped on me. I spun it over once. I said, the timing belt snapped. So I had Kelly and Benjamin. We got out and pushed that thing back, and I checked everything. The timing was right. The timing belt was still good. I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. What are the three components? I have fire, fuel, and timing. Compression. And I'm looking at that right there. I said, you know what? Well, long story short, I had a valve spring break. And I've never seen that happen in my lives of mechanic work. But for your car to run right, the timing has to be right. For us to serve right, our timing has to be right. It's not give God what I can when I have a few leftovers here and there. We look at that verse, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And we also see his leaf also shall not wither. That's faithfulness. Faithfulness. Like an evergreen. When we came back, and of course coming up here, you see it also. I mean, we came back in November, and as we drove from Pensacola up this way or up to Chattanooga way, everything is dead. The trees, not the people, the trees. Everything just, and you're like, wow, look at this. I mean, when you're used to seeing green year-round, and it doesn't matter what the tree is, it's green year-round, and you come here, and all of a sudden you see, wow, what happened that all these trees died? And you remember, oh, it's winter. But you know something? Even in wintertime, there are trees that are still green. Guess what? That's supposed to be us. It doesn't matter how cold the winter gets. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. We're going to still be green. We're still going to produce fruit. We're going to be faithful. 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 Also, the last part of the verse is, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I look at that as continued growth. Listen, I've got so much growing to do. And I want to continue growing. If Joshua and Benjamin were here, those of you who remember them from the time we were here last time, they were like here, and now they are both towering over me. And Benjamin just seems to keep growing. He wants to come up here. If he had come with us, I was going to have to take him over and drop him off over in Green Bay because he wants to be a Packers player. I said, you just can't walk off the streets and be a Packers player. He said, but Dad, look at me. I said, I understand, but that's just not the way it works. But they grow. And he's still growing. Listen, spiritually, we should never be content where we are. We can always grow some. There are things in our life that we can do away with so that we can grab a hold a little bit more of God. Dying a little bit more to self so that he can have more of us. Every day there is that can do it. Continued growth. His personal life, his family life, his business life, his church life, his spiritual life will all be blessed of the Lord. Continued growth. This isn't to say there won't be storms that come along. There will be. But guess what? When the roots are down, the storms can come. When they're solid down there, it's not going to, listen, it may bend here or there, a few leaves may go off, even a branch may break off, but I'm rooted in him. Rooted in him, a tree planted. Now, to be a successful believer, I believe that this is what we need to do. Take verse number two. Listen, it has to be a delight. It's not like, oh boy, here we go again. We've got another missions conference coming up. Oh boy, they got visitation going on. Oh no, we've got another prayer time coming up. Delight. Listen, this is something that we get to do that nobody else is doing. And we're doing this to try to help them. Planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I don't know about you, but I do want to be a prosperous Christian. I may still just drive, as you saw that picture, and hopefully once we get back there, Lord willing, we're going to have ourselves another little car with air conditioning, because Kelly won't drive our Scooby-Doo van. No power steering, no air conditioning, little 1.4. It is water-cooled now. And, it's just, I love it. You have to know where the gears are. You know, you get that shifter here, and it's all over the place. So, I know where the shifters, where the gears are, and I have no trouble, but everybody else seems to grind gears and all that kind of stuff. You know, and I'm perfectly content with that right there. And if that's what I have to drive till the Lord comes back, I want to be a prosperous Christian. And I want to look, when I stand before God, and I know I'm full of faults and failures, but I'm going to strive so that when I get there, he can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I pray that would be our prayer here tonight as well. Father, help us. Help us, God, as only you can. Lord, not to evaluate our lives according to what somebody else is or what they're doing or whatever the churches are doing, but God, that we would stop and look at your word. Allow your word, Father, to prick and penetrate our hearts and help us, Father, to see where we need to die more to self to live for you. And Father, that you do want us to be prosperous, and you've given us everything you can for us to be prosperous. But so many times we're so selfish we don't want to let go. Help us, Father, to be that tree planted by the river of water that bringeth forth his fruit, that is faithful, of service. Fruit in his season, leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper, continued growing until you come and call us home. Help us, Father, as only you can speak to each heart. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.